Fantasy TV.
Oh, well, forget about the plan for tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, I was going to introduce a video I made last year called Have I Ever Told Anyone to Sin? But I just realized, looking at it today, as I was getting ready to organize things for tomorrow, it's 44 minutes long. Holy Moses, I'm not going to do that to you. So, tell you what I will do, though. Starting today, I'll just go ahead and link it down there. It is MZTB something or other. I don't know which one it is, but it will be linked down here. So, thank you for that. What am I going to do tomorrow? I don't know. But having produced and published over 2,600 videos, I'll think of something. Now, today, we're going to look at a difficult passage that would seem to contradict everything Paul says about ignoring things on the earth and concentrating on things in heaven. I'm going to look at a very poor translation in the Concordant Literal New Testament. And I hate to say this because I love the Concordant Literal New Testament, and I thought it was better in the Devar translation, otherwise known as the RIT, but it's not. But we get an answer to this when we look at this important word in the keyword concordance of the Concordant Literal New Testament. That's the dictionary in the back where it's basically a concordance. If you don't have the hard copy of the CLNT, you can get it. It doesn't come looking like this. You have to beat it up for 40 years for it to look like this, but it comes very nice, very nice. I would recommend you getting one at concordant.org. So the passage in question is 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'm just going to read the context, and then we'll get into specifics, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit about the Isthmian Games, which was a version of the Olympic Games held near Corinth that Paul probably attended. I'm going to read to you what Christians think about that. I'm going to go into this amazing Greek word, hupopiazo, and I'm going to tell you how I would have translated 1 Corinthians 9:27. It would have been the most brilliant translation ever of 1 Corinthians 9:27. I guarantee you that, because I know what the word means, and it's just unconscionable why the definition was not put in the translation. Okay, here we go, because it would have clarified everything. But without it, we're very confused about things. And I am more than irritated. So let us go now to 1 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 24, if I may. Are you not aware that those racing in a stadium are indeed all racing, yet one is obtaining the prize? Oh, I was researching the Isthmian Games, and one of the great things about the Isthmian Games is there's no prize for second place. No, I love it. No soup for you. Second place gets nothing. No participation trophies in ancient Greece. No. Everybody in the race doesn't get a little medal and a t-shirt to hang around their necks and a plaque and a pat on the back. Nope. One winner. And second place is the first loser, basically. In fact, they handed out t-shirts that said, I lost in the Isthmian Games. That your t-shirt wasn't that I participated, I ran the marathon in the Isthmian Games. No, I lost, whatever event you're in, I lost the marathon. I lost the discus throw. I lost the 200-meter run. Yes, everyone except the winner loses. The winner gets a wreath, which was a nice little patch of greenery placed about the head. But they did it for the glory, not for the wreath. So Paul says, are you not aware that those racing... I'm going to get more into that in a second. Don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, honestly. Are you not aware that those racing in a stadium are indeed all racing, yet one is obtaining the prize? That is absolutely true. I'm going to read something to you there. Okay, thus be racing that you may be grasping it. Now, every contender is controlling himself in all things. They, indeed, that they may be obtaining a corruptible wreath, yet we an incorruptible, indeed. Now then, thus am I racing, not as dubious. Thus am I boxing, not as punching the air, but I am belaboring my body. This is the word in question, ladies and gentlemen. This is a Greek word, hupopiazo, translated in a concordant version, belaboring. Belaboring? Really? Okay, but I am belaboring my body and leading it into slavery, lest somehow, when heralding to others, I myself may become disqualified. Now, this corresponds with Philippians when Paul says he is racing for a prize for the high calling, the calling above in Christ Jesus. This is obviously, please know this for certain, this is obviously not aeonian life. This is not salvation. Salvation is not obtained. Salvation, you're not presented with a wreath of righteousness for aeonian life. No, aeonian life is a gift of God. Membership in the body of Christ is a complete gift of God. But remember how I said yesterday that God makes concessions for those people who are terrible sinners, and he provides a goad. Even within the evangel of grace, he provides a goad, like, well, you do want to rule and reign with Christ, don't you? For those really recalcitrant people who just sin as a career. Well, conversely, God has also provided a goad for those who want to compete, but damn it, you can't compete in an evangel of grace. And it's kind of, you know, I mean, especially a guy like Paul, who used to be Saul, he wanted to be the best Pharisee there was. Okay, but all that striving in the flesh was thrown out when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. But God, in his mercy, says, well, you know, some of these people, they still got the competitor in them. And so, tell you what, even though this is the gospel of grace, we're going to add some prizes above and beyond salvation. This is not a joke. I am serious. This is exactly what happened. This is exactly the reason. So that there's something to be striven for. Because it's kind of like, oh, there's nothing you can do. And people say, well, you're saved by grace, and what the hell can you do after that? Exactly. Exactly. We're absolutely saved by total grace, and there's nothing we can do. However, for those who like to compete, for those who realize in the absolute that it is God operating in them to will and to work, this is not a teaching on free will, please. You know me better than that. This is straining for the sheer love of it, for the sheer love of God in Christ, for the sheer thankfulness. It's like you're so thankful for God in Christ, for what Christ did, that you're just energized and you want to do something. Now, we would do it anyway. And I've had people say to me, Martin, I don't want a prize. I'm just tired. I don't want this. I don't want anything. I just want to be saved. Just string me up a hammock, during the aeonian times, and I'm fine. Okay, good. That's enough for you. And Paul says, whoever are disposed to this, he says this in Philippians, whoever are disposed to this high calling, then I'm paraphrasing him from this point on, whoever are disposed to this, like, go for it. Whoever aren't disposed to it, then don't do it. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything here. It's a thing of joy. It's a thing of, yes, it's a thing of, I can't wait to get in there and get myself bloodied for the competition. That's me. I have that in me. I'm competitive. When I'm swimming at the gym, I'm a slow swimmer, just like I'm a slow runner, but I go long. I'm still swimming. I can be potentially swimming or running 12 hours later when everybody else is in bed. So, but I can't help it when somebody's in the lane next to me, and I'm thinking, oh, I hate it when they pass me. So I have to put on a little bit of juice. I don't like to do it, but I'm competitive that way. So God allows for that. It's great. I'm thankful for it. So if that's not in you, don't worry about it. Now then, thus am I racing, not as dubious, thus am I boxing, not as punching the air, but I am belaboring my body, leading it into slavery, lest somehow, when heralding to others, I myself may be disqualified. Okay, yeah, that's not salvation. He's worried about being disqualified. He's not worried, but he's energized. He doesn't want to be disqualified. This guy's still got the competitive Pharisee in him, really. He still does. He's still got some of that stubbornness in him. He's still got the, and God didn't take away his entire personality. He just redirected it. He's still a scholar, still smart, still a little irritable, still got this short fuse, still competitive, but it's all being turned toward good now. So Paul's writing this to the Corinthians. Now I wonder, and he's using sporting analogies. Why does Paul use these sporting analogies? Especially when he's writing to the Corinthians. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you asked, because I'm reading now from a website, juliansprigs.co.uk. This is in Great Britain. Julian Spriggs, yeah, that's it, .co.uk. In his letters, Paul makes a number of references to the Greek games, mostly using them as a metaphor for the Christian life. I want to go down to this part. The Olympic Games are well known, but the second most important games were the Isthmian Games, held near Corinth every 2 years. We know from history that these games were held in the spring of AD 51, around the time Paul was in Corinth. Oh, what do you know about that? Many thousands of people from around Greece and further afield attended the games. So for Paul, it was a good opportunity to preach the gospel. You know, this irritates me, what they say. A good opportunity to preach the gospel. Let me continue. I'll tell you why I'm irritated about that. No permanent accommodation was provided, so athletes and spectators stayed in tents set up in surrounding fields. This would be a good business opportunity for Paul, together with Aquila, who arrived in Corinth at the same time as Paul, to work together as tent makers, Acts 18:3. They could make or repair tents for the spectators and preach the gospel at the same time. Christian website, don't you think that they could also watch the games? It's just, they put these people in stained glass. It's like Paul is all business at the Isthmian Games. If he's not making tents, why, he's going to be heralding the gospel. Even though there's a great boxing match going over here at the Eight-Ring Circus, which is the Isthmian Games. No, Paul's making his tents, and he's heralding the word opportunely and inopportunely at the Isthmian Games. Are you kidding me? I have no doubt Paul did that. He probably did that, but he also watched the games. I can see him loving it, and just like, yeah, go, eating popcorn or whatever. And let me tell you the sports that were going on here at the Isthmian Games. Athletes competed in foot races, wrestling, boxing, throwing the discus and javelin, the long jump, and chariot racing. For each competition, there was only one winner. Oh, who received a crown of celery leaves. Celery leaves. Boy, I sure like to get me some celery leaves. There was no award for second place, which is why Paul says, run so as to win. Isn't that, that is interesting, I have to say. So I got to give it to Julian Spriggs, M.A. He's got letters after his name. Anybody know what M.A. means? Master of, never mind. Interesting, okay. I got to hand it to him there. Run so as to win. Okay, so in this context, Paul is in the sporting mode. He says in verse 26, now then, thus am I racing, not as dubious. Thus am I boxing. Boxing was an event at the Isthmian Games. Says it right here. Compliments of Julian Spriggs, M.A. But Paul says, in the analogy of boxing and applying it to a walk in Christ, thus am I boxing, not as punching the air. Wouldn't that be stupid? There's your opponent, and you're punching to the right of him, punching to the left of him, above him, below him, anything but on him. But no, I am belaboring my body. This belaboring my body has to do with punching, because he's in the boxing analogy. Belaboring. All right. The Greek word here is hupopiazo. It's a two-part Greek word, under view eyes, V-I-E-W-I-Z-E, under view eyes, translated unaccountably, belabor. It's also translated the same way in the RIT, the Dabar translation, with which I have here. Actually, it's pronounced Dabar translation. This is volume 2, containing the scriptures in there, so All right, are you ready for this? Belabor. Hupo Piazza under view eyes. This is page, for those who have the hardback concordant literal New Testament, this is on page 28 of the concordant dictionary in the back. To blacken by a blow that part of the face which is under the eye. Let me read that again. To blacken with a blow, a punch, that part of the face which is under the eye. That's where you get view eyes. The word view is in here having to do with the eye, but not the eye itself, but the area under the eye. You want to hear something ridiculous? In the margin of the Devar translation in 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Devar translation says this, but I belabor my body, lead it as a slave, lest somehow as one heralding to others, I myself should become unapproved. And they have a footnote under belabor, and it says, generate bags under the eye. To generate bags under the eye? I know what bags are under the eyes, but to generate bags under the eye? How does this fit in with a boxing analogy? What, Paul worked so hard to lead his body into slavery that he stays up long hours and he's just always tired. And so people see him in the morning and they say, Paul, looks like you got Samsonite luggage under the eyes there. Yeah, there are my bags. Been working too hard, not getting enough sleep, and making tents, preaching the gospel at the Isthmian Games. Ain't got time to watch the discus throw. Ain't got time to watch the javelin. Ain't got time to watch the boxing. To hell he didn't. He watched all that stuff. In fact, probably, who came with him? Who came with him to the games? Oh, Aquila, yeah. Aquila probably had to tell Paul, hey, Paul, we need some help making tents here. Paul, just a minute. There's a great boxing match here between Conan the Corinthian and Alex the Isthmian. Hang on, I'll be right there. Hey, Paul, we got a meeting tonight at the tent behind the stadium. Don't you think we should brush up on our notes for our presentation about justification by faith? Yeah, I'll be there when I can. I'm watching the 200-meter race, and somebody threw the javelin and hit one of the high jumpers in the heart. It was really fascinating. You should have been there. Okay, but that's just me. So my question is, why are these translators completely ignoring what this freaking word means? It means to strike with a blow. To blacken by a blow that part of the face which is under the eye. And what would be the significance of translating this correctly? How would I have translated this? I'm glad you asked. I would have translated it this way. Thus am I boxing, not as punching the air. But I am blackening the part of my body under my eye. And then I would put in parentheses, wink, wink. Get it? Under my eye. I blacken the part of my body under my eye. That would be my literal translation. I blacken the part of my body under my eye. Why would you translate it that way, Martin? Because that is the exact meaning of hupo piazzo. And let me remind you of something about boxers. Maybe I'm not even reminding you because some of you might not know this. Some of you ladies aren't too keen on boxing. It's a blood sport, but it's interesting to watch. Anyway, it's more of a guy thing, I guess. But if you want to end a fight, this is what Paul's getting at here. If you want to end a fight conclusively, you go for the eye. You strike under the eye. Remember when Rocky got hit in the eye, I forget which one that was, Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I forget which one that was, but he goes, cut me, Mick, cut me. He's got his eyes all swollen, he got to cut it, relieve the pressure, all that pus comes oozing out of there, because he got hit in the eye. That's a very strategic place to hit someone if you want to win the fight. If you want to hit a guy, you're not going to hit him in the belly button. I mean, repeatedly, if you want to pull the rope-a-dope like Muhammad Ali did to George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. Or was that the Thrilla in Manila with Joe Frazier. I'm going to get Joe Frazier. I'm going to teach Joe Frazier. I'm the greatest of all time. Yeah, I mean, but Paul would call such blows inconsequential. Paul says, if I'm going to race, if I'm going to box, if I'm going to fight to win this high calling competition that I'm in, compliments of God in Christ, and I'm going to not strike, I'm not going to strike inconsequently. I'm going to hit my body right where it counts, right under the eye. I would blacken my body with a blow under the eye. That is what this word means. And that would lead my body into slavery. I think you all see the analogy here with Matthew 6:22. If your eye is single, your entire body will be luminous. Jesus said that. Our Lord and Savior said that. Matthew 6:22. If your eye is single, the entire body will be luminous. Your eye leads everything. Yesterday, we said that the mind in a member of the body of Christ, the mind that apprehends the truths of justification and conciliation and peace with God, it leads the rest of the body. And that way you can ignore the body. Paul's been talking about ignoring the body over and over and over again. But now he says, well, there's one part of my body I don't ignore. What? There's one part. If I was a boxer, there's one part of my body that I make sure I bring in subjection that will consequently lead the rest of my body into slavery. Which part of the body is that, Paul? The eye. It's all figurative, of course. Paul isn't literally punching himself in the face, okay? But he says, if I bring my eye in subjection to Christ, then my whole body follows. This is perfect. Perfectly in line with Matthew 6:22. Lest somehow when heralding to others, I may become disqualified. And so, with a right translation, the light shines, the revelation shines, but with I belabor my body, after just referencing boxing. And here we have a beautiful Greek word, hupopiazo, that has to do with boxing. The very next word, practically, the very next word is a boxing term. Hupopiazo. This is what they yelled at the competitors at the Isthmian Games. Hupopiazo. In fact, Paul was probably watching his favorite boxer while Aquila said, Paul, come on, man. We got to study up for the meeting. Paul's Hupopiazo. He's yelling at his favorite competitor. Hupopiazo. Like, go for the eye, man. Go for the eye. Hupopiazo. So when Paul then goes to write this letter, he's thinking back and he's going, yeah, hupopiazo, man. Yeah, hupopiazo. That's what I do. I told these guys to hupopiazo. I'm going to hupopiazo. I'm going to get my eye right. Get my eye right. He can't be saying, I beat my body. I make it my slave. No, he just says he doesn't punch inconsequentially. He doesn't just flail around and just like Christians do. You know, we try to just make sure we do everything right, everything right, everything right. That's the key word, everything right. No, Paul says, no, I'm going to do one thing right. This one thing I will do, and I will lead my eye into slavery. If only I had a Greek word that meant to blacken with a blow the part of the body under the eye. Oh, wait, I do. It's hupopiazo.